Amen. Let's bow in prayer and seek the Lord's face again as we come to consider God's truth tonight. And let us pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, but especially those in the meeting tonight without Christ. Pray that the Lord will save them. Lord, we do thank Thee and we do praise Thee for all Thy mercies to us. We thank Thee for the message of the gospel. And O God, we thank Thee that it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank Thee, Lord, that You're still saving souls, even in this 21st century. We thank Thee, Lord, for those that You've saved in recent weeks and months. And O God, we just pray again this night, Lord, that You would come, and Lord, that You would snatch brands from the burning. Dear God, we pray that everything that we would say tonight, Lord, would glorify Thee and uplift the Christ of God. Hide man behind the cross, far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. Oh God, give us a message tonight and help us, Lord, to preach it and prepare the hearts of men and women to receive Thy word. Oh God, we found out this morning that we need Thee to intervene in the sinner's life if they're ever going to be saved. How Paul was marching down the Damascus road with no fear of God and no thought of eternity. But, oh God, we thank Thee that You stopped him. You intervened. And, Lord, we need Thee to intervene tonight. Men and women have no concern about their soul. Heading, marching headlong into hell itself. And, oh God, they have no worries about it. For, Lord, they cannot see what is in front of them. But Lord, reveal to them tonight what's in front of them. A lost soul forever in hell. Oh God, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh God, we pray that You would speak to hearts tonight and reveal unto them the consequences of their sin if they die without the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And oh God, we pray that as You speak to them, reveal unto them the remedy. For we thank Thee, Lord, tonight that there is a remedy. The remedy is at the cross. Oh God, we thank Thee tonight that Christ crucified is a remedy. Christ resurrected is the remedy. We praise Thee, Lord, for the wonderful gospel that gives liberty to the captive soul. May sinners flee to that refuge tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Please turn again to Acts chapter 22. In our study this morning, Paul was giving his testimony before the Jewish people. We noticed this morning how Paul, in his testimony, emphasized that salvation from start to finish was of God. We ended our message with the Jewish people turning on Paul. When the apostle got to that point in his testimony where he spoke of God sending him forth to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the Jews rose up against Paul and they sought to kill him. At this point, the chief captain of the Roman army commanded one of his soldiers to bring Paul into the castle in order to beat a confession out of the apostle. That's what we read in verse 24 of chapter 22. But as they were preparing to scourge the apostle, Paul asked this question: is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And of course, when the soldier heard this, he ran to his commanding officer and told him what Paul had said, with the result that the chief captain questioned Paul himself. Look at verse 27. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, in verse 28 at the end of it, but I was free born. But I was free born. That's a wonderful statement. Men and women, what Paul says here of himself as a citizen of Rome, every Christian can say concerning him or herself as a citizen of heaven. Those of us who are saved tonight can truly say, in the light of the gospel of Christ, we have been freeborn. In other words, we have been set free because of the liberty that is found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, those of us who are saved tonight and born again of the Spirit of God, we can say, because of the new birth, that we have been set free from the bondage of sin and from the condemnation of sin. Very simply tonight, as we come to the end of our meeting, I want to preach about the freedom that's found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, how the gospel of Jesus Christ sets men free from the bondage of sin. And I pray that if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, that you will listen very carefully, because here's a message for you. It's a very simple message, but I pray that this simple message in the gospel tonight will speak to your heart and speak to your soul. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this. All men are born into this world in bondage. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you have been born into this world in great bondage. Man in his natural state, the Bible tells us, is a slave. Man is in bondage to sin and to Satan. He is the slave of sin and the slave of Satan. And the truth is that by nature, man is controlled and ruled by the evil passions of his own depraved heart. Sin and sin alone has brought man into this bondage. Now, I don't know whether, my dear unsaved friend, you have ever thought of yourself as one who is in bondage. But as far as the Bible is concerned, the Word of God clearly teaches that you are in bondage because of sin. Romans 6 verse 20 says, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." And Paul there, of course, is emphasizing to the people of God that before they were saved, before they had received the liberty of the gospel and come into this wonderful liberty, that they were the servants of sin. My friend, if you're the servant of sin, you're in bondage to sin. In John 8, verse 34, we read these words, "Jesus answered them, Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." I wonder, have you ever considered yourself as a servant of sin? You're here in this meeting tonight. You're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. I wonder, have you ever considered yourself as the servant, as the slave of sin? My friend, that's what you are. That's how the Bible describes you. In Ephesians 2 verse 3, we read these words. Here Paul writing to the saints at Ephesus, but he reminded them of what they were before they had entered into this wonderful freedom of the gospel. He said in verse 3 of chapter 2, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Children of wrath, servants of sin. Oh, I pray tonight that God the Holy Spirit will take His word tonight and apply it to your heart and to your soul. Because the truth is this, because you are a servant of sin, because you are by nature a child of wrath, then you're heading towards the blackness and the darkness of hell for all eternity. Because the Bible tells us clearly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, the servant of sin, if he dies in that state, will be lost forever and forever. All men are born in bondage, the bondage of sin. An illustration of how man is in bondage to sin is found in the life of the demoniac of Gadara. Now keep your hand in Acts chapter 22 and turn over to Mark chapter 5. I know that most of you will be familiar with this story, but if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, then it's important that you read these words. Because as I have said, this is an illustration of how you are in bondage to sin. Take a look at what we read here about this demoniac of Gadara in verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. See how sin was controlling this man's life. See how Satan was controlling this man's life. Here we have an illustration of every sinner that is born into this world, every man, every woman that is born into this world, they're held captive by the power of sin and Satan. And my friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, then that's where you are this evening. That's how God views you. That's how God looks upon you, even as he looks down from heaven this night. You're a soul that's bound by sin. You're a soul that's fettered by Satan. If you're not saved tonight, you're in bondage because of sin, and that bondage of sin is bringing you down into a lost eternity. Oh, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, would write his word upon your heart and upon your life tonight. Because, friend, until you see yourself as God sees you, until you recognize that you are the sinner needing a Savior, until you recognize tonight that you are the servant of sin, then you will never flee to Christ for liberty and for freedom and for salvation. You'll never turn from your sin. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is this. Secondly, only through Jesus Christ can sinners be set free from this bondage of sin. Now, friend, don't miss this truth. The devil doesn't want you to hear this truth. The devil doesn't want you to listen to this truth. But this is a truth. This is the truth of the gospel. And this is a truth that every sinner needs to hear. Everyone that's the servant of sin and the servant of Satan, everyone that is under the bondage of sin needs to hear this truth. Only through Jesus Christ can sinners be set free from their bondage. One commentator said, listen to this, no one ever comes to enjoy true liberty before God and in his own conscience, except by the blood, the righteousness, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a statement that is. And I say amen to that statement. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one that can free sinners held captive by the power of sin. Christ is indeed the only one who can set sinners free from sin's bondage. And that's why week by week, as you gather into God's house, we present to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, can you see the importance of the gospel? Can you see the importance of preaching Christ and him crucified? Can you see the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to die for your sins and my sins upon the cross? Without Christ, you and I could never be set free from the slave market of sin. We could never be set free from the bondage of sin that we have been born into. John 8 verse 36 says, if the Son, that's the Son of God, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Paul said in Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ
hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You can see in those two texts how it is emphasized that there is liberty in the gospel. There is freedom in Christ. And my friend, that's where you need to get to tonight. That's what you need to realize this evening. If you're found in this gospel meeting and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you need to recognize that if you're going to be set free from the condemnation and the penalty of sin, if you're going to be set free from the bondage that you've been born into, then it's only through Christ that that freedom can come, that liberty can come. We read these words in Isaiah 61, verse 1, and they're words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy concerning Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Listen to it. To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry, he walked into the temple on one occasion, and he opened the scriptures, and he read this passage of scripture. And then he said this: "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes." Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world? Why did he live a spotless life? Why did he die an atoning death? Why did he rise again the third day according to the scriptures? It was so that those who have been born in sin and were born captives to that sin might find liberty and freedom and eternal salvation. Oh, I have a wonderful message for you tonight, my friend. If you're found in this meeting without Christ, you can be free from your sin. You can be delivered from the bondage of your iniquity. And thank God the chains that bind you tonight can be broken. And the reason why they can be broken is because the Son of God cried upon a cross, "It is finished." And when he cried, "It is finished," man's redemption was accomplished once and for all. And because he died, you can live. And because he lives, you can live forever. Oh, what a wonderful salvation that's found in Jesus Christ alone. We read in Romans 8, verses 2 to 4, listen to these words. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Here's Paul speaking. Listen to these words. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Why are those wonderful words? Those tremendous words? "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Thank God tonight, my friend, if you were to come and acknowledge your sinnership to God tonight, acknowledge that you're bound by sin's fetters, acknowledge that you are the sinner, and confess that Jesus Christ alone can set you free. The problem is that men and women today across Ulster, they're trying to get liberty from their sin other ways. By good works, by going to church, by seeking to work their way to heaven. My friend, the only thing they're doing is piling on more judgment upon their shoulders. Oh, the truth of the gospel is this, that Jesus came to set men free. Wasn't that the truth, the great truth that Martin Luther found when he read that text in Romans, "The just shall live by faith"? Was he not trying to work his way to heaven before that? Of course he was, through penance and through masses and through religious exercises. And the more he did, the more the burden was upon his shoulders and upon his conscience and upon his soul. Because he could get no freedom not until he read about the freedom that was found in Jesus Christ. And that day when he read those words, "The just shall live by faith, faith in Christ alone," the burden lifted, the chains fell off, and the captive was set free by the mighty power of the Son of God. Oh, friend, tonight, flee to Christ. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Come to Christ tonight. Thank God he is the liberator. And the reason why he is the great liberator is because of his person and because of his work that he accomplished upon the middle tree in Golgotha's brow. And that's why the Father could say of the Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice, but he was the ultimate sacrifice, and he was a sufficient sacrifice. Because he died, you can live. Oh, may you come tonight and flee to Christ eternally. There's one other thought I want to leave with you. Thirdly, all men who are born again have received freedom and liberty. All men who are born again and are saved have received freedom and liberty. You see, the very moment a man or woman is saved and born again of the Spirit of God, they are free in Christ. This does not mean that a saved man is free to sin and that he has liberty to live whatever way he wants, but rather it means that he's free from the condemnation of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Glorious? Oh, there's a wonderful portion of Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Just keep your hand in Acts chapter 22 and turn over to Romans chapter 8 just for a moment and read these words. My friend, listen. The truth is this. If you were to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, from this night on, you would receive freedom and liberty from your sin, and you would receive everlasting life, and there would be no condemnation for you anymore. Look what it says in Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." What a tremendous text of Scripture that is. But here we have Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to write to God's people, and he is declaring that because they are born again, because they're saved, because they are now Christians, because they have now found liberty in Christ, there's no condemnation for them, no judgment for them. That's what it means. It means no hell for them. In Romans 6, verse 11, Paul said, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." My, what a wonderful text of Scripture. Under grace. Oh, I pray tonight, my friend, if you're found in this meeting, that the Lord will reveal unto you what you can receive through Christ, what you can receive by coming and accepting the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. All men who are born again have received freedom and liberty, free from the condemnation of sin, free from the fear of death. We read in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, these words, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," this is speaking of the death of Christ, "he might destroy him that hath the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." I wonder, is there someone here tonight? Have you a fear of death? If you're not saved, you certainly should have a fear of death. Do you ever think about your death? Do you ever think about the time when you will take your last breath upon this scene of time? when you go out into God's eternity? Do you ever think about where you'll be after you die? And as you think about where you're going to be after you die, do you ever think that your soul is going to be lost in hell forever? And when you think about that, does the fear of death not grip your heart? The uncertainty of it all. Oh, my friend, listen. The unsaved man, there's a fear of death. But to the one who has been set free, the one who has been redeemed and saved by God's grace, that fear is gone. There is therefore now no condemnation, and because there's no condemnation, there's no judgment, and because Christ has paid the price, thank God, he has taken away the fear of death from the child of God. That's why the psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My friend, come to Christ tonight, and the burden will be lifted, the judgment will be removed, and the fear of death will be taken away. Here we have the blessings of this wonderful liberty into which Christ will bring the sinner when they repent of their sin and by faith trust Christ as their Savior, also free to enjoy all the blessings of God in Christ. In Ephesians 2 verse 6 it says that he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 1 verse 3 it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, the blessings of God's salvation. Having our sins forgiven, being adopted into God's family, being prepared for heaven, having a mansion prepared for us in the glory, having the assurance that before we die that we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. Oh, these are the blessings. Some of them, these are the blessings that every person that is saved will have when they come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know these blessings tonight? Have you received these blessings this evening? Oh, my friend, I pray tonight that God, the Holy Spirit, will take his word and write his word upon your heart and upon your soul. Have you been born again? If you have, you're born free. You've received the liberty of Christ. And all who have received the liberty of Christ, thank God, the Lord has promised to them eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hold on to your sin. Don't go on hoping someday that you're going to squeeze into heaven, because it will not happen. And you could come to this church all your life and sit and listen to God's word all your days and end up in a lost eternity. My friend, it's Christ you need. Would you come and trust him this evening? Let us all pray.